We all thought that that was a good sign then. Soviet having been positioned, as you remember, against Germany and NATO, but it didn't challenge that idea that everybody ought to choose what alliance they want to be in. We also had to show him that the NATO alliance was not his enemy, but was a force for stability that could indeed adapt, could indeed change, adapt to the new realities in Europe. And that's why the recently completed NATO summit was so important, where all of our colleagues agreed to our proposals for the transformed alliance. And I'm very proud of my collaborators here, the top foreign affairs and national security people, Jim Baker, Brent Scowcroft, in formulating this position, this leadership position on behalf of the United States. Sent a paper around prior to the NATO meeting, and it was that paper from which everybody worked, and it became the basis for this agreement. Then yesterday, President Gorbachev commented that, and here's what he said, that without the, quote, very important impulse from the London Declaration, it would have been difficult to make headway. So the Soviets viewed the NATO agreement as something that was very important to them and demonstrated less of a threatening mode on the part of NATO. Both Kohl and Gorbachev have displayed, I think, exceptional qualities of leadership during this challenging period. I commended, as a politician, President Gorbachev and the outcome of the Party Congress over there. You talk about a guy getting hit from all sides. I mean, I felt totally relaxed about what's happening in this country. So anyway, I don't know, but I must say I take pride in the way Europe is moving into this new era of freedom. It's a goal that we Americans have long worked to achieve. We've still got some very important problems that lie out there ahead of us, but it's a challenging and very exciting time to be President of the United States, and I expect my other co-leaders in the alliance would feel that way. I'm not sure Mr. Gorbachev feels that way yet, but isn't it exciting when you think back a year and a half ago to where we stand today? Now, with no further ado, and without this opening designed to deflect you away from matters domestic, I'd be glad to respond to questions on any subject. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, my name is Peter Diamandis, and I'm the chairman of the Magazine Publishers Association. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with the representatives of the industry. We're planning a party next year. This is sort of a statement, not a question.
You come right up.
We're going to plan a party next year. We're having a 250th anniversary of the first magazine in America. Started in 1741, appropriately titled The American Magazine. This industry has now grown to 10,000 titles on every conceivable subject.
Gee.
And in honor of that celebration, we're going to devote a big part of our budget and our time to fighting illiteracy. You know that's a big subject for you and your wife. We'd just like you to know that and hopefully support that in 1991. And on that note, I'd like to introduce a fellow Texan, Mr. Rentschbach, is the president of Time Inc. magazine.
Well, first, I'm delighted to hear that, and it is very important. And this whole media support for the anti-narcotics and for education, with literacy being in the forefront, has been dramatic. And I will say this, not to avoid my responsibilities as president, but it couldn't be done. The federal government, there are not enough chips around to do what your industry and others are doing on a pro bono, 1,000 points of light basis. Excuse me, Reg, go ahead, sir.
Well, Mr. President, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your most recent accomplishment regarding the German issue and the handling of NATO and the development of Europe in general. I would like to take this opportunity on the heels of yesterday's troublesome news about the deficit to address some issues domestically. And in that respect, I hope you know that I'm sure all publishers are supportive of the administration's apparent willingness to begin to seriously address the deficit crisis.